I'm going to read a passage that is probably familiar to some of you, and I'm going to read a verse, John 3:16, which incidentally we've been encouraging you to, or giving you the option of there be a verse, kind of a memory verse that goes with the sermon every week. If you haven't done that yet, this is a great week to start. For some of you who grew up in church, this is like the free thing in the middle of the bingo card, right? John 3:16 has been like drilled into your head and your heart for so long. So maybe you jump on and start doing that. They're always printed in the worship guide, I think, toward the end of the worship guide. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, last Sunday was for me an incredibly wonderful Sunday. And it wasn't because anything major or earth-shattering happened. Came to church, thought we had a wonderful Sunday together. And then I went home, and I had to be nowhere. And this is like one of the most beautiful things ever. In my life currently, if I have to be nowhere, I'm just like, thank you, Lord, for the gift of this day. Right? And so we just kind of had the evening, the afternoon there at the house. And in the evening, We fight over the TV. Do any of you ever fight over the TV at your house? We kind of fight over the TV and go back and forth. And I told May, who's my youngest, who now I can talk about May in my sermons because she leaves before the sermon. And then one day that's going to go away and I got to work harder for material, right? But May got up in the chair and I was like, "May, we're going to watch the end of this NASCAR race together." And May was like, "Okay, fine." So she sat there beside me. We watched the end of the race together. Incidentally, she's curious about the race this week. Maybe it's working. They're in Las Vegas, by the way. We'll see, right? So we did that, and then that went off. And then we worked on a puzzle together, and we turned the TV on, and I figured out there was this documentary called The Americas. It's on NBC. Have any of you seen this? Oh, if you haven't, you should watch it, right? It's like this... It's this documentary, and it's looking at things in the Americas, right? And it kind of shows us things in nature that we don't often see or take account of. Like today, when you got in your car and you drove to church, there were untold amazing things happening all around you that you didn't even think about, right? And so this show kind of brings that to light. There are wild horses in the Outer Banks, even now, just running around being horses. Is that not amazing to you? Like, I watched that and I was like, they're just out there? Yeah, they're just out there, just like being horses. Like, nobody owns them, nobody feeds them, they're just living life, right? There are cicadas. Do y'all remember recently when the cicadas came out? Does anybody remember that? According to this documentary, they come out of the ground every 17 years. Think about that for a minute. For 17 years, they're just kind of dormant, hanging out in the earth, right? And they have these cameras pointed at the earth, and these things start, like, making their way out, right? And they shed their old skins or whatever, and they grow wings. And then the males start making all these noises, right? And the females are like, kind of like waiting. Seems like the most intimidating thing for the males. The women are just kind of waiting. They're like either, right, thumbs up, thumbs down kind of thing. And then they do what animals do in the spring, and almost immediately the male just goes, falls off the tree dead. And I was watching, I was like, really? 17 years, and then he just wakes up, and then boom, he's gone. Right? That happens in the world. Is that not crazy to you? Also, in the Atlantic Ocean, sharks come together every so often, every year. Nobody knows why, which I love to hear somebody that's a scientist be like, we have no idea. They just come and swim around. And there are also shad there, which are small fish. And then there are fish that would like to eat shad, but that sharks like to eat them. So do you know what the shad have figured out? All we have to do is swim really close to the sharks, and those other fish will not eat us. So they had this underwater camera with these sharks just like swarming, and there were these little bitty shad just swimming all around them. I was just amazed that like they figured that out. I was joking to Mary or something. I was like, I wish we could see the first time they tried it. Right? The shad are out there and they're like, the grouper are going to eat us. See if you get close to the sharks. Maybe they won't eat us, right? But there is this, you and I will just move around in the world and things are happening that are staggering and beautiful and amazing. And most of the days we're just kind of like in our rut. Morning carpool, we're doing our thing, we drive home, and we miss kind of the wonder of the world around us. And I think in a very real sense that you and I can be like that as it relates to our faith. That we can believe and profess these things that are staggering and mind-boggling, that are nothing short of miraculous, and we can almost yawn while we're doing it. Right? We talk about things like resurrection and talk about things like the Lord bringing new life into our hearts by the power of His Spirit. And it can become so kind of second nature that we say it and we forget how miraculous it is. And I think Jesus, part of what He's doing here in John 3 is to remind us that if we come to faith in Him and understand who He is and what He's done, it's nothing short of the power of God's Holy Spirit at work in our hearts, helping us to experience new life. Now, in John chapter 3, a guy named Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he comes when? He comes by night, right? He's a ruler, he's a teacher of the Jews, and already in John chapter 3, Jesus is making himself known to the people, and everybody's trying to figure out, like, what do we do with this guy? Like, his ministry was such that he was making waves, and you had to decide where you were, and so Nicodemus, this ruler, this teacher of the Jews who has something to lose in how he responds to Jesus, decides to come to him by night. And he starts off and he kind of compliments Jesus. Did you hear that? This man came to Jesus by night and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless what? Unless God is with him. So he kind of comes out to Jesus in the cover of darkness and he's like, hey, we know that God's at work in you somehow, right? Because the things that you do apart from God's power at work in you, they're not possible, right? And I don't know how I would expect Jesus to respond to such a statement. In part, I kind of expect Jesus to be like, well, you're right, you know? But Jesus responds in a way that kind of puts Nicodemus on the defense a bit. Did you hear what he said? He said, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In my Bible, the way it's formatted, I just love this, there are two uses of unless, right? And Nicodemus says, you can't be from God. You have to be from God because otherwise, unless God is with you, you can't do these things. And Jesus responds and he says, you can't experience new life unless you're born again. And Nicodemus is immediately kind of sent into a tailspin because he doesn't know what to do with what Jesus just said, right? And you and I, in a way, like we've maybe become accustomed to a passage like this of like, oh yeah, born again. It's a phrase that you and I might use to talk about the Christian life, and we kind of become used to it. But think about hearing it for the first time. And Nicodemus walks out to Jesus and he says, You can't see the kingdom of God unless you were born again. And Nicodemus just immediately kind of starts spinning, right? What's he talking about? And he's confused and he doesn't understand. He asks questions that you and I would think now are kind of nonsensical. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And the answer to that question is what? No. More miraculous than watching the cicadas come up, right, would be watching someone attempt literally what Jesus is saying. So what Nicodemus is saying. But he's wondering, he's asking the question, what in the world, Jesus, are you talking about being born again? And Jesus says, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, most commentators think baptism and the gift of the Holy Spirit, new life, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And kind of the comparison here of flesh and spirit becomes a huge dichotomy in the New Testament, right? That the flesh speaks to that that's possible for us in our own power or our own strength or our own wisdom. And Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he's saying, you need the Holy Spirit to be at work in your life to see and to understand Jesus and to give new birth and new life where there once was only death. And then Jesus says something that's really pertinent, or it's easy to wrap your mind around given the events of yesterday. He said, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, yesterday was in some ways a long, boring day, was it not? For those of us who didn't get any severe weather, but I loved it again. I love a day where it's slow, I don't have to be anywhere. And I would sit out in my backyard during part of the day in some chairs we have in the backyard and just enjoyed the warmth and the breeze and the kindness. And I was just looking up and noticing as I'm reading this passage, the wind would just kind of randomly swirl in my backyard. And I would hear some trees creaking like, all right, this might be the day that this tree is gone, right? And then the wind would stop. And I couldn't tell you where it came from, and I couldn't tell you where it was going. Right? But there is this mysterious nature that you and I kind of understand as it relates to the wind. And even, like, I have a certain amount of respect for meteorologists, and I appreciate the difficulty of what they're doing, right? And you can tell that it's hard because they can't be like, hey, Briar Oak Drive, it's coming for you tomorrow at 2, right? They can only say, hey, we think conditions are kind of coming together. It might get bad. We can't verify that it will, but we want you to be ready in case it does, right? Because as much as we know and as much as we understand, there's some things that are just kind of beyond our ability to kind of fully figure out. And so Jesus says that's the way that the Holy Spirit works in bringing about new life and salvation for us. And as I thought about this passage and I thought about my own story of salvation, I was reminded that there are some things that I sometimes take for granted and fail to remember the power of God's Holy Spirit being at work in my life and how gracious and merciful He is to me. Because I've told you before, I grew up in a family that took me to church. I grew up in a family where I heard the gospel preached. I responded to the gospel in faith when I was a kid. Ultimately, the Lord brought me and called me into ministry and brought me here. And there can be a part of us where we can look back on that and we can be like, well, that just all makes sense, right? You grew up in a Christian home, you heard the gospel, you responded in faith. But as I think about my own story and my own life, I can tell you of other people who grew up the same way, and they did not respond in faith to the gospel. But they sat in similar seats that I sat in. They did similar things that I did with their lives. And for some reason, God in His grace and His mystery, by the power of His Spirit, brought new life to my heart such that I was born again to this new and living hope. And the way that I understand how that happened and why that happened is actually pretty consequential, right? That if I think that I came to faith in Jesus Christ because I'm smarter than people around me, or I'm more righteous or better than them, or fill in the blank, right? But the testimony and the witness of Scripture is that however it is that God is pleased to bring about new life in our hearts by the power of His Spirit as we hear the gospel, there is this mysterious nature of something that's happening there, and it's miraculous, and we can't control it. So I could tell you my story, and I could tell you my testimony, and if I'm not careful, I fail to be amazed at God's grace and His mercy in my life. And this morning, reading John chapter 3, or this week preparing for this sermon, there was this really powerful reminder of the Lord that apart from my miraculous work in your heart by the power of the Spirit, you would not be born again and not have this eternal and abundant life that Christ has come for you to know. Jesus and Nicodemus, they continue on in this conversation, and then Jesus refers back to that passage in Numbers 21. He says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life." Now, as I was reading that passage in Numbers 21, did any of you, were any of you just like, what? Probably in our more honest moments we were, right? That they disobeyed and they sinned against the Lord, and the Lord thought that the punishment was to send these fiery snakes upon God's people. They were bit, they died, and they all come to Moses, and they're like, Moses, like, something's got to happen here. And the Lord says, well, make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up. Everybody who looks at that serpent will be saved. There's full transparency. I'm reading that passage sometimes, and I'm like, I'm not sure how to understand that, right? And Jesus says, in a similar way, when I'm lifted up on the cross and people place their faith in me, they will have salvation. That our faith is not, it's not purely rational or intellectual truth that then allows us to respond in faith. Now, I say this, I do think our faith is intellectually sound, and I think it's rational in the sense that I've not heard of any understanding or worldview that makes more sense out of my life and my experience than the gospel. So it is rational and it's sensible, but it's not math, correct? It's not the Pythagorean theorem, whatever that is. I don't even know what that is this moment, right? It's not just like A squared plus B squared equals C. It's not that, right? But it is rational and beautiful and true, but you and I don't come to understand it and believe in the same way that somebody shows us math. But God, by the power of His Spirit, as we look to Jesus on the cross, bring this new life in us such that we ought to be amazed and astounded at what He's done for us. Right? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." If you're here this morning and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, be reminded that your faith is a gift of God's grace and the miraculous power of the Spirit at work in your life. And I hope that at least for one day, maybe all week, maybe you just kind of walk around thinking about your faith like you would think about cicadas, right? Like, wow, God's amazing grace and kindness to me that He would do that for me, and that fills you with a certain amount of joy and gratitude and awe for who He is and what He's done for you. And then, if you have people in your life that you long for them to know, the eternal and the abundant life that God would have for them to know in Jesus Christ. I think this is a reminder of how we pursue that is by proclaiming Jesus and holding Him up. Right? And we pray and we trust that as we proclaim the gospel, that the Holy Spirit does something through and in us that we can't do in and of ourselves. That evangelism is not primarily a work of us explaining things the right way or apologetics or answering all the questions maybe that someone might have. But we take the approach of Paul. So a lot of reasons I love the Apostle Paul. One of them is that he was a person who was dramatically converted, right? He thought Christ wasn't the Messiah. He thought that those who belonged to the church were blaspheming. And God powerfully converted him on the road to Damascus, right? And after that, Paul, I think, always lived and ministered out of that sense of how he was converted. And he would say, we've resolved to preach Christ and Him crucified. And he says in the book of 1 Corinthians, this is a stumbling block to Jewish people, that they don't understand how the Messiah could come and save in this way. It's foolishness to the Gentiles. But we've decided that what we're going to do, and Paul was not, he says this, he wasn't the most eloquent person. He wasn't the one who thought that what he was doing and the power that he had or strength would ultimately win the day. But he did his ministry in such a way that he preached Christ and trusted that the Holy Spirit would do the work to bring people to faith and bring them into the church. So I hope for you and I hope for me that that's kind of how I approach life in proclaiming the gospel. That ultimately it's not my job to bring people to new life or to eternal life. That's the job of the Spirit. And my job is just to be faithful, to show them Christ in word and in deed, and pray that the Holy Spirit would bring about in them this eternal and new life that he would have for them to know. I invite you to pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you come to us in the power of your Holy Spirit and that you help us see and understand who Jesus Christ is. We thank you for the eternal life that you've given us through faith in him, through his life, death, and resurrection, that we are born again to a new and a living hope. We pray that you would help us to never allow our salvation to become something that that fails to amaze us. And we pray that you would help us to hold out the gospel of Jesus Christ to others faithfully and to trust that you are the one ultimately who will bring about that new life in your time. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.